Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass on a Tuesday. We will check in with Lions head coach Dan Campbell. The hits keep coming, and they don't stop coming.
No, they certainly don't. It's just got to move on.
We had speculated McNeil done for the year, confirmed.
Yeah.
Davis, not quite done for the year, but listen, jaw injury, major injury.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And David Montgomery, we didn't talk about done for the season now.
Didn't even think that was a possibility as he was getting more tests at this time yesterday. And then, I don't know, it was an hour after we left here, we get the notification. Yep, toast.
We're going to do a lot of emotional check-ins today, the well-being of this fan base, the outlook for the season. We'll get to it today. And I do want an update on Colin, by the way.
He's hanging in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not doing well.
Not doing well?
Relatable.
Yeah.
Hopefully the holidays can pick up his spirits.
Oh, they will. But deep down, he's still heartbroken.
I think that I can read into that. The way that Heather looked, I could see that Colin probably came down and body language was depressed. And Heather probably looked at him and said, "You have a certain amount of time to act like this, and then you will be happy for Christmas.
Put a smile on your face. Turn that frown upside down, boy. Let's do this."
Did David Montgomery ruin your Christmas? No. Listen, we'll get into all of it today. Last night, multi-screen action. You had Monday Night Football, Monday Night Football Part 2. And if you're me, you also had the Pistons on one of the screens. And John, I wasn't paying the most attention. They were shooting well. They were up. I'm thinking, here you go.
The funny thing is I'm watching the Monday night game, both of them, flipping back and forth.
Yeah.
And the way I have my TV set up, and I know this would drive Stoney absolutely bonkers, right? So
I
get notifications on my phone, but I also get notifications on the TV.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, and the notification says, Cade Cunningham, and it's only for local sports teams, right? And so it says Cade Cunningham is heating up, and it's talking about his, you know, the stat line, numbers, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh. And so I had been tracking it, and I knew that they were up by, you know, at some point, what, 15?
19.
And then I saw, I don't know if I ever saw it actually be at 19, but I know they were up big. And so I flipped over, and I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is a nice outing. And I flip back to the Monday night game, and I totally forgot that the Pistons were playing until I get the text message from you.
Yeah,
epic choke job. And so I flipped back, and I didn't end up seeing the end of it, but I did see that they won an OT.
They did.
And it wasn't a choke job.
It was a roller coaster of a game. So again, for people who did not watch, no judgment. You had two football games on, one that did matter for the Lions, yeah. Right? We'll get to that. But the Pistons were up 16 points with like 5.5 to go.
Oh, yeah.
And Cade has a triple-double, and this is going to be a big win. They shot well all night. They got outscored 18-2 the final 5.5 minutes. Tyler Hero, for the second time this season, at the end of the game, yeah, just continues to just make everything in sight. And I'm going, oh, no. Cade's 0-for-4 in that final 5 minutes, 2 turnovers. Yeah. Oh, no. It's going to. They get down early in overtime, and that's when I sent you guys that text. To their credit, Tim Hardaway Jr. hit a couple threes, saved them, and Cade hit what would be the go-ahead basket, finishes with a career-high 18 assists. Very different tone than the way we were headed. It was a roller coaster of a game.
Yeah, and you love seeing, obviously, Beasley with the 28, Cade with the 18 assists, and it just kind of felt like that is part of the performance that you would expect from Cade Cunningham, except for down the stretch, right? You don't want it to go to overtime. You want him not to be the guy, not to be the guy that's leading in assists and setting a career, you know, mark and assist, but to be the guy that hits the winning shot. Or if it's going to be the assist, that you set someone up for a gimme.
So Miami, I thought, did a good job just saying, hey, we're going to throw basically double teams at him at the end of the game. And, right. And he pressed a little bit. He didn't handle it perfectly. But these are moments for him and what is shaping up to be an all-star caliber season. I had a friend text me. He says, what is a successful season for the Pistons? And let me tell you what I sent back to him, John, and you tell me if you agree with this. I said, Cade has to have an all-star caliber campaign. I can't guarantee he's going to get there, but I think he needs to be like one of those guys. I think they need to win 30 or more games, and I may be selling them short. They're on pace for 33 right now. But 30-plus wins, Cade all-star campaign. I need a cleaner basketball team. Better defense, fewer turnovers, just a better product. And the biggest thing I said is I want a clear identity at the end of this season. Like something that they can sell and build on and fill in around.
Something that we can hang our hats on.
So it may be Asar Thompson, who I thought played well yesterday, and Ron Holland by the end of the season. You got these two young athletic wings around Cade and maybe a decent amount of shooting. Something, a clear identity to build around. Did I do okay? Do you think that would be a successful season?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we want something that nobody thinks, even though they're flirting a third of the way through the season with that 10 spot. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to be in the play-in tournament. I don't think they eventually get there. At some point, some of the other teams create some separation. But to be able to get to the end of the season and say, okay, here's what we know we have in Cade. Here's what we know we have in Ivy, in Durin. Like the three young guys that if you're going to build a team and you got three quote unquote stars and hopefully one or two of them are superstars. I don't know if Ivy ever ends up with the superstar logo. I don't even know if Cade is got the superstar logo, but if you get to the end of the season and you say, all right, marked improvement, and we can keep building, we can add to what we have, and there is actual hope that next year, instead of flirting with that 10 spot, maybe you're flirting with the 6.
Yeah.
But you have the confidence that you're going to be playing postseason games no matter what.
The Monday Night Football game. I say game. I didn't really pay much attention to the Raiders and Falcons. I was watching to see what would happen with Minnesota, and they won again. That's now 7 in a row, John. And while Detroit controls their own destiny, so does Minnesota. The Vikings win out. They win the division. So this is officially, it's on.
Oh, yeah. That last game is good. It's all the eggs are in one basket.
Would it kill the Bears to just like figure out one of these games?
Well, just not this week.
Well, yeah.
Not we don't want week. Them to figure out this week, yes. One of the final two, but...
But I'm watching last night, and they had an offensive lineman come in and play fullback, but he didn't report. It's in the red zone. Offensive lineman gets a holding penalty like the very next play. Like, can you guys do anything right?
No.
To your point, yes, be they a dumpster can't. Fire for another week.
Yeah.
But I'm watching... Minnesota didn't run away with it. They were comfortably up double digits, but like if at any point Chicago could have scored a touchdown... Made it a one-score game in the second half.
Yeah, but you're watching a rookie do what rookies do.
I know.
And it's the awareness of, and I think that's one of the biggest things, is a quarterback, as you know, a play comes in and you're going to have a lineman that is supposed to report as eligible. Yes, ultimately it's on him to perform his job. But it's also ultimately on the quarterback, because he's got to make sure that everybody's where they're supposed to be. Formation is what it's supposed to be. And hey, you know, you get two receivers to the right, one's on, one's off. You look over and you get two guys on. The quarterback has to know, hey, dummy, step back, and navigate that. It's also, he's got to be able to say to his offensive lineman, did you report? Like, that is part of the quarterback's responsibility. Not all on him, but he does have to make sure that everything is rocking and rolling. And when you are a young quarterback and you are simply focused on what is my responsibility, what is my job, what am I doing on this given play, what's the snap count, those things are all lost in the wash. And so you're watching what happens to rookies, especially late in the season as quarterbacks. It's happening.
Vikings have won 7 in a row. Eagles have won 10 in a row. It's a race to the finish. They're all 12-2 with the Lions. We'll get to those injury updates as the hour rolls on. It's 97.1.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history? That's Stadium Swim, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino in sunny Vegas. You want to enjoy some nice weather, which we all want to do at this time of the year. You can catch all these biggest all the biggest moments that are happening in sports at a viewing experience that's absolutely built for you, the sports fan. There are 6 pools, 3 different levels, and you've got a perfect view because it is Stadium Swim, whether you're swimming or if you're poolside, of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's America's favorite place to watch every single sporting event. Swim up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and it's one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy daybeds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. And you don't have to show up in the morning and hope you get a spot. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Straight to the ghetto.
Look, I know some of you
it's
feel
a classic
like
right there.
It is. Some of you feel like Christmas was canceled with all these Lions injuries. We will check in emotional well-being throughout the show today. Dan Campbell, 802. The Montgomery injury is not something that we really talked about yesterday, John.
Nope.
Done for the season.
Further tests, and the further tests. Bummer.
MCL.
Yep.
Surgery. Done for the season.
Such is life.
He was kind of that tone setter, right?
Oh, yeah. He was. We had talked about that a long time. He was a guy that set the tone every time they came out. People would ask, why don't they start the game with Gibbs? I'm like, he leads in rushing, and you know, you could hit the edge. You could create a possible big play. And the reason you started with David Montgomery was because this team is about grit. It's about physicality. It's about violence, and he is, was, and will be again a violent runner. When you break tackles at the line of scrimmage, and then you carry guys for 4, 5, 6 yards, pick up a first down, it sets the tone for the game. That's why Sunday, when he's tackled for a 1-yard loss on the opening play, you're like, that's not the tone you want to set, but you thought they'd come back and do it again. And it never happened. But he is that guy, was that guy for this iteration of the Detroit Lions.
And twice stats only tell part of the story. Like, his season will end. He ran for 775 yards on 4.2 yards per carry. Like, 4.2 yards per carry is nothing special, but I think about the first game of the season, the overtime drive. Yeah. I think about key short yardage, goal line, red zone, 12 touchdowns. You smiled at 775 yards.
I sent you that Instagram post yesterday. The over-under for David Montgomery this year, before the season, was set at 775.5 yards.
So if you bet over, you missed by
half a yard. How do they know? How do they know?
I'd be sick if I was holding that ticket. You're like, I got 3 weeks to go.
Can we go back and remeasure? Like, this is such an inexact science where they spot the ball. And 775 yards, and it hit on the under because he's hurt, and it was a half yard.
Oh, and you're thinking.
So for every bad beat, there's a good beat. Somebody bet the under.
Somebody did, and I guess good for them. With 3 weeks to go, you were dead. He was going to hit. It was going to be over. He'll finish with over 1,000 all-purpose yards. He had 300-plus in the receiving game. John, obviously this shifts all of it to Jahmyr Gibbs now, right? He won't be the only back.
Of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll see a little Vaki and some Craig Reynolds. But like, how would you divvy this up moving forward? Give me like a percentage of the workload for Jahmyr Gibbs.
I would probably go 70-30.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so the instant reaction that I had was, all right, Craig Reynolds. Because we've seen him at times at the end of games, and he goes in, and I know they're not playing against, a lot of times they are playing against the starters. He's still behind that offensive line, and he's been able to gain yards. This is where you need the offensive line, not that we saw against the Bills, but that we have seen a vast majority of the season. They are going to have to be dominant. This offense is going to have to be dominant. You're going to have to lean on the offense, but most importantly, and I've always said, like my motto, and I know it sounds cheesy, put the game on the line. All right, and that means, for me as a former offensive lineman, put the game, put the season, put the Super Bowl hopes on the offensive line. And I believe those guys' shoulders are tough enough, they're strong enough to be able to handle that responsibility. Now go out there and effing do it.
Jahmyr Gibbs, young player, right? You're going to have to take on a little more of a workload. You're going to get beat up at times, right? When you're carrying the ball 20 times every single game for the next 3 weeks plus playoffs. You got to just lean on the fact that he's a young player, right, John?
That
he's just got to be built for this.
I don't believe in any of the comparisons that some have tried to make between his numbers and his running style and his performance with number 20. I don't even want to disrespect him by saying his name. But the one thing that gives me hope that he can withstand the extra carries, the extra touches, like number 20 used to be able to do, is you don't really get direct shots.
That's a good point.
On Jahmyr Gibbs. He does enough, whether it's upon impact of a little bit of shift this way, that way. It's never a direct hit.
When this thing was flipping 2 years ago, what was the backfield? Reynolds and Williams.
Yep.
Wake up, people. It's better right now. Okay?
You can't say it's... Well, yeah,
the backfield's better than it was then.
Okay, yes.
2 years ago.
Yes.
They won games last year when Montgomery was out. Does this suck? Yeah. They lost Knuckles. That's a fan favorite, right?
Sure. People,
I mean, seriously, it sucks, but the backfield's better than it was with Williams and Reynolds, and they can get by with this, okay? Guess what they also have they didn't have 2 years ago? A tight end, Sam Laporta,
mm-hmm.
with Brock right now.
They're a better football team than they were two years ago.
So,
I mean, but the goal wasn't to be better than 2 years ago. The goal is to win the Super Bowl.
You lost a fan favorite. People love when he gets carried and he's surfing.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Right.
But they'll be fine.
So Gibbs, just for context here, Gibbs has 9 of their 10 big runs of more than 20 yards. You're going to put more on him. I wonder how the efficiency will be changed by that. You know, I mean, 5.5 yards a carry, does that come down a little bit when he has more of a workload? But there's also going to be more home run threats. More of your carries could go to the house when Jahmyr Gibbs gets an increased workload. He has 186 carries on the year. It's one more than Montgomery. That's 42% of their carries this season. 70% is a big workload increase.
Sure. But it, on the other side, and I say this all the time, when somebody goes down or if there's an injury or you're playing against a great opponent, I always, always see it as an opportunity. Who's that opportunity for? Yeah, for Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit, but we already know what he is. The opportunity there is for Craig Reynolds. And the message from Dan to Craig and from everybody else is, hey, go make yourself some money.
And don't sleep on Vaki either in all this.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's there. But for Craig Reynolds, you want to be on a roster next year. You want more of a workload next year. It might not be with the Lions. Go make yourself some money.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, I wish I wasn't starting with this news, but I am. Tragedy struck on Monday when a 15-year-old student opened fire at a private Christian school in Wisconsin, killing a teacher, a student, and herself. Six others were injured, including two that are currently in critical condition. Officers responded to a call, which was made by a second grader. A second grader called to notify police that there was an active shooter at the school. This was at Abundant Life Christian School. It's a K through 12 school. Yeah. Has about 420 students, right? So it's not a very large school, but houses everyone, every age. Like I said, the second grader called 911. Officers responded very quickly. The school was evacuated and officers swept through the school building. The shooter has been identified as Natalie Rupnow, a 15-year-old student there at the school. She was pronounced dead on the way to a local hospital and died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. So far, everything is under investigation. The motive is unknown at the time. It's unknown if those who were killed were targeted or not. I know there is something circulating online. I never saw it. A social media post or a letter of some sort is being circulated online. Police also noted that they're still working to determine if the legitimacy of that, if that is something the shooter wrote or just was created, right, and is now spreading across the internet. It's just devastating. And it's always worse when it's right around the holiday, too. For some, you know, it's just, it's so, so sad.
Yeah.
And it just keeps happening. I think this is, I saw some number somewhere. This is like the 322nd, I think that's what I saw.
Of the year?
School shooting of the year. Yes.
I mean, it's kids. It's yeah. They're going to learn.
Yeah. It's, you know, it hits home a little differently for me.
Oh, sure.
Now
sure.
that I have kids. Yeah. And the thought that, I mean, Emily is in school. She's in a daycare, right? But like, she's going to be going to kindergarten very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
always on your mind.
Mm-hmm. A state psychiatric center has found that the man accused of killing that Detroit neurosurgeon, Dr. Devon Hoover, in his home is competent to stand trial. So this suspect, Desmond Burks, was in some sort of intimate relationship with Dr. Hoover, is accused of killing him in April of 2023 and then stealing things from his home, $30,000 in cash, two watches worth more than $6,000 each. So he's been charged with first degree murder, felony murder, all sorts of other charges as well. Now, he's also accused of allegedly fatally punching a 67-year-old man during a separate road rage incident as well. So he will be going to trial, it sounds like. This is interesting. In 1974, a boy checked out a book from a public library in Warren, and he never returned it. But 50 years later, he tried to do that, but they told him he could keep it. So he actually found it like 5 or 6 years ago. He was like going through boxes. He'd done some moving, and he thought, you know what? I'm going to hold on to this until that 50-year mark. And he also happened to return home back to the area for Thanksgiving. So he thought, well, this is perfect. I'll take it there. And they were just like, technically, you don't exist and the book doesn't exist in our system, so you can keep it. So he did. But what's kind of cool is that now he's actually trying to raise some money. He calculated that the late fees would be about $4,564 for this book. So he's putting forward some of the money too, but thought if he could raise some money for a charity, a nonprofit organization called Reading is Fundamental, that would be kind of cool. So he's doing that. Cool. Interesting story, I guess. Yeah.
It's Heather with the news. It's 97.1. All right, Lions fans, let's talk it out. A lot going on.
Yep.
That wasn't just a loss. There are casualties. Aleem McNeil, Carlton Davis, David Montgomery, significant injuries for the Lions, and we need to check in on the emotional well-being of this fan base. 248-539-9797. Have a seat on the couch. Tell us about your feelings.
Lay back. Get comfortable.
We'll do this together. We're going to get through this together. We've got ticket texts pouring in.
So I'm sure there was an initial reaction. And everybody's initial reaction is probably mostly the same. And we had a little bit more time to prepare for the info on Aleem McNeil and Carlton, Davis, where, especially with Dan Campbell, has done a nice job of setting expectations, especially after games, when you know, he's asked about, hey, how's Aleem McNeil doing? Well, it's not good. And, you know, with follow up, well, every time I've said it's not good, it means, you know, could be a season. So we had those expectations. So it was a little bit of a softer landing when we actually heard he's out for the year. Same with Carlton Davis. And then when we heard about David Montgomery and it was, well, going to have more tests, to me, having been through the more tests phase, that means they're hoping for better news than they actually had. And it's more the players hoping for better news because he's going to go get that second opinion. Somebody outside the team, and it's generally 99% of the time, it's not better news.
We should clarify, Carlton Davis not necessarily done for the year.
Right.
Broken jaw. I mean, like NFC title, maybe Super Bowl, maybe. But again, you still have to fight for a one seed. You still have to win multiple playoff games without him. So there's a lot to process as a Lions fan. John, I would classify my mood as, remember when your kid had like a birthday party and you get balloons and you really have a good time? About 3 days after the birthday party, those balloons, that's me.
Deflated?
Deflated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little air,
sad, yeah.
But it's a sad scene. I mean, the balloon is deflated.
You're saying the party's over?
John, as a fan, I don't want to emotionally throw in the towel because there are still games to be played and this is the best Lions team of my lifetime. And I'm gonna,
six to be exact.
Sure, and I'm going to watch all of them and root like hell for them. Like, I refuse to like emotionally quit on the team, but I know what I see and I know how daunting this is going to be, and I no longer expect them to win the Super Bowl, which is a huge shift in the way we approached this season.
Yes, but fortunately, the Super Bowl is not on Sunday.
It is not.
And do the playoffs begin on Sunday?
Also, no.
Okay. So you're going to Chicago, going to play in Soldier Field, against a team that's really not very good. And it gives this team a chance to reinvent itself. And then the following week against San Francisco, all right, the stakes continue to go up every week that you play, especially because the Eagles and the Vikings are giving you no room for error. They keep pushing you forward, and so the stakes continue to go up. But again, it's a team that has been battered with injuries, battered with drama off the field, starting in the offseason, continuing through the regular season. And so it's another game that you should go out there and continue to find out what works for this version of the 24 Detroit Lions. And then it all leads to, now the playoffs don't start the last week of the season, but damn it, yes, they do, because it is an opportunity to earn a bye. It's an opportunity to earn home field advantage. And fortunately, that one is going to be played where we do have an extra teammate, and that is the Detroit Lions fan base in Ford Field. So while this team, it looks bleak in regards to the injuries, they still have time, and Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Dan Campbell, this coaching staff, to find out what works best for the team that will take the field against the Bears.
So where are you at? Are you deflated? Are you defiant? It's not going to happen like this. Are you sad, angry? I mean, cheated. I mean, where are you at as a fan? John, where are you at?
I can only speak from my perspective, and some of it came out yesterday where I said, you know, I still expect them to win the Super Bowl. I still expect them to win the Super Bowl. It's not going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy before. And the reason I say is because I go through that same process. They're playing the Super Bowl this week. They're not playing in the playoffs this week. I know that there's ramifications for the playoffs, but they're already in. They've got a seat at the table. Now they're trying to get to the head of the table. And I always go to, all right, hey, this is part of the business. And injuries happen. People go down. You've got to find a way to continue to move forward. There is no time to take a breath. There is no time to sit there and moan and groan about we don't have Montgomery. We don't have McNeil. We don't have Hutch. This team is built for handling these moments. Now, they may not be built physically, but they are built mentally and emotionally. And I like the fact that they can go out there. They've done it before of handling devastating injuries. Losing Hutch was devastating. And I remember doing the show after that Dallas game, and there were a lot of people that thought they'll never rush the passer again. Defense will never be the same. Can't find a way. And they did. It just keeps getting more difficult. But my mindset is always going to be the same thing that we hear from Dan Campbell, the same thing that we hear from the players. It's next man up. What's the fix? How do we move forward? And fortunately, they have a chance against the Bears to figure out defensively, what do we have to do to be the best version for the players that we have available?
Look, they should beat the Bears. They should beat the Niners. And home, they damn well better beat the Vikings. But this season is going to be defined by what they do after that.
Certainly.
And that's where I get concerned, because last year, they upgraded with Carlton Davis. Not here anymore, right? That's significant for this secondary. I don't want to underscore how big a deal losing him is. Aleem McNeil was the anchor post-Hutchinson, right? I mean, he stepped up. He got paid. He played better. He gave them interior pressure. He's gone. Like, John, he was the key to moving on post-Aiden Hutchinson, even more than Za'Darius Smith was. So the hits keep coming, and they don't stop coming. You're missing double-digit players on your defense. That's depth. That's a concern. If the defense isn't any better than last year, then they might not advance any further than last year. And then offensively now, you don't have the 1-2 punch. It's a lot on Gibbs, and I'm excited to see what he does with the increased workload. I mean, but John, I can't expect the Super Bowl given everything that's happening right now. I want it so bad. I know a lot of you guys want it so bad, but it feels like a bridge too far to keep expecting that given what continues to happen to this football team.
They were the best team in the NFC because before this last like bout with the injuries. And that showed the team's depth. That's why me and John were extremely bullish going into the year on this team. And the depth has been depleted. But I do think you've got to buy in that they're just like the other contenders now in the NFC. They're on a level playing field now. If they get, they have got to get home field. They will not go to Philly and win. They won't. So you got to get that game here. So you got to close the deal. The schedule sets up nicely for them to do that. They got a very favorable opponent this coming week as you try to lick your chops, get off the mat, and just get a win, right?
Yeah.
Then you go to San Francisco, and maybe you start getting a little more help back. There are players in the reserve here that can slowly come back as you continue to try to persevere to get the one seed. You know, I think Mosley's got to play, and he's got to do why you signed him. Is he as good as Davis? No, but he can get close. Okay, it's time for Terrion Arnold to not be a rookie.
Agreed with that.
You have the draft class from last year. The top four picks are all healthy. It's time to rise up, boys. I made the point last segment. Reynolds has done this. Craig Reynolds is the guy that threw the block in Tampa last year that people couldn't get enough of, right? Mm-hmm. He was in a backfield with Jamal Williams. Well, Jahmyr Gibbs and Craig Reynolds are a hell of a lot better than Jamal Williams and Craig Reynolds. People got to get a grip here a little bit and buy into the fact that the foundation and the culture are still here. This is not drinking Kool-Aid. Do I expect them to win? No. Do I think they can win? Yes. I still believe they can win, but it's going to be really, really hard. It's going to be harder than it was going to be.
When we bounce back,
yeah,
I want to come back with some audio that is going to explain why, not just physically, but this is emotionally and mentally a tough group of SOBs.
Can't wait to hear that. I could use anything uplifting. It's 97.1. And we talk about this time of year, and it's been a time of celebration. Lions fans, toast to the Kings of the North. Got to finish the job still, but when you toast? You toast with 1800 Tequila, the best taste in tequila, a proud partner of the Detroit Lions. Make sure you grab that limited edition Motor City jersey bottle. It's on shelves now, and it's made for this Lions season. They'll be gone, so get yours where you normally would buy 1800 Tequila and enjoy the number one super premium tequila and the taste of victory on game day. 1800 Tequila, Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
That's Dan Campbell last year in his breakdown of the season, and it was the first press conference he had after the loss in the NFC Championship game, and he was spot on. And we talked about it at the time. It is going to be tough to get back to that NFC Championship game. There's going to be a lot of different variables. And going into the season, we thought the one thing that might hold this team back was if your quarterback got injured. He's not. He's available. And there are a slew of injuries on the other side. But he has been telling us that message as fans, but even more so his own team. You are going to have to overcome obstacles. He never wavers on next man up. Same message he sends to his team. There is no time to sit here and take a breath or take a pause. The bye week was so early. You had 10 days after the Green Bay Thursday night game to lick your wounds just a little bit and take a breath. We heard from Goff. He went Christmas shopping. Now it is the stretch run. It is time to buckle down, and there is no team mentally prepared better than the Detroit Lions because of the tone that Dan Campbell continues to set every single day. Josh Reynolds, I expect him to come in and play good. Why? Because we've seen it from other players before. Tom came in at the break, talked about Awosika in the, you know, coming in the NFC Championship game. He played a great game. No one is after Awosika to be a starting guard on their franchise. But he went into that when Jonah Jackson was unavailable and played as a starter should play.
But we're not talking about backups. We're talking about backups to the backups. And when Dan Campbell said that last year, it was after they had a remarkably healthy stretch into the postseason. I remember that's something you really hit on was how healthy they were. This year is the opposite. This year they're dropping like flies. And yeah, play the games. See what happens. I'm game. I mean, what the hell do I have to lose? Let's see what happens. But I no longer have that like unwavering belief that this team's winning the Super Bowl. I think the odds are heavily stacked against them. I don't share the optimism that you have.
You said odds are stacked against them?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Thank you, Han.
Yeah, that ready.
Thank you, Han.
The emotions of this football
team.
Damn
right I had it ready.
And this fan base. You're on your game today. He's dialed in today. He knows the fan base is down, and he's going to try to build everybody up. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you a sampling of where the fan base is at today. Montgomery out. Okay, it's over. Wait till next year.
Yeah, of the injuries, that's the least I'm worried about.
The Lions are cursed. They'll never win a Super Bowl. The football gods will ensure this.
I knew that was coming. I knew the curse was coming.
Hey, Lions fans, have you missed me? Signed, SOL. The Lions are on the clock. When does draft talk start? My God, John, you're delusional. No team is built for this. This is next level. Laughable.
Okay. Then the thing I keep talking about, and I've said it probably ad nauseum. You guys make fun of me. I know they make fun of me in the afternoon. Let's let this sucker play out. Let's see what happens in Chicago. Let's see what happens in San Francisco. Minnesota, bring it on, bitches.
When I was saying the schedule sets up for them, they have people coming, okay? You got to get there, and that's why you got to. I don't care if it's 9-7 Sunday. I don't. And then you go to San Francisco, and you got a lot of motivation there, okay? Yeah. You got a lot of motivation to take care of business. And again, get out. These are 4-6 win teams, okay? Did the sky fall? Did Goff, Sewell, or St. Brown get hurt? Because that's who I've been consistent with on the three that would kill it all.
But
it would.
But that's not the argument. No one's
Jim,
saying.
Jim, you've still got the identity of this team as your offensive line. You know what, boys? You got your ass kicked on Sunday. You better know it. You need to lift your team right now. You think the season's over, dude. Why don't you just admit it, Jim? You want to have it both ways right now with your conversation.
No.
Yeah. Do you believe or don't you believe?
I think I'm trying to be fair and honest. I mean, sure, I could make stuff up and go to the extremes for radio if that's what you'd like.
Aleem McNeil wasn't on the team last year when they grinded out and got into the playoffs, okay? He was hurt last year at the end of the regular season. You can survive this.
Tom, you just said, well, they're playing 4-6 win teams the next 2 weeks. No one gives a bleep about those games. Those games are not what we're talking about. They have to beat Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson to win a Super Bowl. That's what the whole season's about. So don't give me Caleb Williams is this week.
Don't tell me about San Francisco.
I don't know. Can I give an honest answer? I don't know anymore.
I'm saying I don't know either.
I'm telling you, there is real reason to doubt
you
now.
You sound like you've given up.
What's wrong with identifying what's going on with this football team and looking at it for what it is?
But you still you think they can make the Super Bowl?
Can, sure. Will, no.
Okay. I'm not going to say they won't.
And I'm not going to go at you like Tom did. Because I
get accused of that.
No. I see your point of view. I believe more like Tom does, clearly. But I understand where you're coming from. And I understand that there are mounting injuries of key players. This isn't just... Now, if it was Goff, I think everybody would sit there and legitimately say, yep, okay, sure. Hendon Hooker's not guiding us to the Super Bowl. That is something that is unable to overcome. But I do believe that Aaron Glenn is a good defensive coordinator. I wish against the Bills he would have made some more adjustments. But even against Josh Allen, if he makes those adjustments, the way that he was playing, the way he dropped some of those passes over the shoulder of some well-covered receivers, I don't care who's defending. Those are completions. Those are big plays. And when you have a tight end that catches a one-handed, I'm going to tip it to myself, and I'm going to... Like, there were other guys that were... They played out of their minds. Now, if that Bills team shows up in the Super Bowl and plays against the Detroit Lions, yeah, odds are 100% stacked against them. But the ball doesn't always bounce that way. Sometimes those balls don't always drop into the basket. Josh Allen is playing out of his mind. And I think against anybody on Sunday, the Bills were going to win that game.
They were dialed in.
There's no question.
And I think even with McNeil healthy to start that game and Carlton Davis healthy to start that game, the Lions couldn't get stops.
No.
They couldn't. Which was a concern if they were healthy, and now they're injured. And I'm supposed to go, well, because I'm a Lions fan, they're going to do it? Like, I'm just telling you where I'm at. We've asked you guys emotionally where you're at today. 248-539-9797. Ticket Texter says, this is not SOL. However, I'm finally willing to admit that this team, this city, and this fan base is cursed. It's so sad to watch a Super Bowl season that could have been. It's not SOL, but I'm finally willing to admit that we are dealing with something beyond our control. Texter says, I'm devastated at the turn of events. Decimated defense was bad enough, but now David Montgomery, it's just too much. The joy of watching him power through and pick up a few more yards in the arms of his teammates was encouraging. It was entertaining, and it was productive. Says, the state of this defense means they're not winning, perhaps even going to the Super Bowl. And now Minnesota's tied with us? The final game means everything? Lions can't catch a break. 248-539-9797. Your thoughts next, 97.1.